Hello. Welcome to the launching of the Alchemy of Light broadcast. This is a celebration and exploration of consciousness. And this show integrates the available progressive social and natural science-based genius alongside the more intimate genius of individuals sharing their stories. And today, we will be doing just that. We will be sharing the intimate genius of a very special individual in my life, and her name is Carolyn Royce. And in 2006, she packed her car up and drove across the country and started a new life. And today, we're going to talk to her about how that has changed her from the inside out and how things look to her now. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi, Jamil.
How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great, and I just want to say congratulations on your new radio show. I'm really looking forward to speaking with you today and also hearing your shows in the future.
Oh, bless your heart. Thank you so much, Carolyn. Mm-hmm. Carolyn has been one of the people in my life. We've known each other for a number of years, and she is not only an extraordinarily intelligent and compassionate and open-minded person, but she is also a loyal friend and one of the few people who has made it with me through all of these transitions in the last few years. And it is such an honor to share this first launch with you. She and I have been running parallel in a lot of the changes in our life. So not only because we have spoken for many hours and are comfortable with each other, but because we have shared so many parallels in the transitions in our lives, I really wanted to welcome you to share this experience with me, Carolyn, because you too are launching.
Yeah, that's, oh, well, thank you. That's a really nice intro. Thank you.
Yeah. And I guess just for fun, we can just tell everybody that we've already been talking about how nervous we are, but we're not nervous as much as we used to be an hour ago. So, hi, everybody.
We're going to give it a shot.
Yes. So, here we go. Oh, all right, love. So, let's begin with you sharing with us. Back in 2006, what was the catalyst for your journey? What were the things going on in your life that led up to the decision you made to pack up your car?
Yeah. You know what? I think I had just come to the end of a lot of things, in a way. When I look back on it, I think I had just been unhappy for a while. My marriage had ended. My kids were grown and didn't need me in the same way anymore. I had been in Boston for so long and just kept dreaming of another place. Couldn't I be in another place? I had been teaching. I worked with teaching children. I've been doing that for a long time. And I must have been complaining a lot. My sister is so good to me. I have a sister out in California, and she said, why don't you just take a year off, get a year's leave of absence, and come try some really different place? And I hemmed and hawed for a while, like, oh, I don't know if I could do that. Next thing I know, she had bought me a ticket to Flagstaff, Arizona, and she met me out there for a week in April. And she said, "And she said, let's just go there and we'll see what it looks like, and you can come here for a year." So we went to Flagstaff, and it looked so amazing out west. If you've somebody like me, I grew up in New England. I spent most of my life in New England, and New England is a beautiful part of the country. It has a very particular look. And when you go out to the Southwest, it looks completely, completely different. And that appealed to me so much. I just loved everything about how different that looked. So that's what I did. I took her advice, and I asked for a year's leave of absence, and I thought I would head towards Flagstaff and see what happened. And then one of the great things was I wasn't quite sure how to make such a trip. I could get the leave of absence from work, but I wasn't sure of the logistics of the trip and how to actually really do such a thing. And, Jamil, you helped me so much with that because you helped me plan that trip and get my house rented and make all the logistics here in Boston that I needed to do to take a year off and be away. And to me, my one of the most powerful things that you did was when we first started talking about, I told you I wanted to do that trip, but I wasn't sure how to do it. One of the first things you did was you gave me a giant map of the United States. It was a book of maps, one of each state. And you just said, just plan your trip. This book is for dreaming. You take this book and start planning your trip. You can go anywhere you want. So that really helped get me out the door. It was wonderful to imagine the freedom of that and to have a map in hand so I could actually follow roads to get there. So that's kind of how the trip started. So I think the catalyst was just a general dissatisfaction with lots of things. And then I don't think I could have made the trip without the spark from two people who cared about me. Was one, my sister, presenting me with an alternative place, and the second was you helping me really take the steps I needed to have that dream come true.
Do you think that this was a dream in the back of your mind somewhere that just got put aside with all the things that were going on in your life at the time? It seems like it's rather common, perhaps, even where in our youth we have dreams and ideas, and then life starts, if you will. You know, we get married and have children, and then workaday world happens and bills and stress and all that, and then the dreams get pushed aside or buried, or they seem to disappear, but then they reemerge often down the road. Do you think that this was a dream that was in you before, are you aware of that?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know if it was so much. I think it was probably a mixture of things, but one of the things was not knowing that I didn't want to be in the place I was in. What could I do? What could I change? What could I do? Could I change something? And then hopefully other changes would come from that. So I think that was part of it. Like, we've talked about this a little bit before, like sometimes you think a geographic change is going to bring lots of other changes too, and sometimes it does. But I think part of it was saying, let me do something really different. Let me change everything that I can change.
And What were your circumstances, if you want to just generally give the listeners an idea of what was it you were leaving in specific? What was a general sketch of the situation and the environment that you were restless in?
Yeah, I had lived in Boston for about 30 years, got married and brought up my kids here. I had taught school for over 15 years, had been teaching little kids. And I felt like I didn't know any other, even though I had done a little bit of traveling, I felt like I had been in Boston. I actually had lived in the same neighborhood in Boston for most of that 30 years. So
wow.
It was one of those times I was kind of free of obligations in some ways. I could take the year off from work. I own a house, but I was able to rent it out. My kids, as I mentioned, they were grown, and they could come out and see me, but I didn't need to do the daily care of them that had kept me in Boston before. So I kind of had this opportunity of having less obligations than other times in my life. So it was a chance to... I also had that chance to leave. The other thing was that my job gave me a leave of absence for a year, which they didn't pay me for it, but it meant that they held my job for me. So I knew I could get by for a year. I could find other work. But it also gave me that assurance that when I came back, I could have that job back. So those things helped.
When you were preparing to leave and you were, in your mind, you had a perception of what you wanted to see at the other end. And will you share with us a little bit about how your expectations were met or not when you arrived when you happened to end up where you ended up? Were your expectations realistic? Were they close? Were they way off? Were there some surprises? Would you like to share with us some of your key ideas or expectations of where you thought you were going after all of that incredible work you did to give the leave of absence, to rent the house, to make the preparations, to organize the incredible amount of things you have to do to put your life away for a year, and all of that work is done and you're preparing to leave, and you had some ideas in your mind, right? Some some expectations, something that you hoped you would find. And did you find it, or what did you find?
On the trip itself?
Yeah, was there a tangible thing you were looking for, or was there just to get away was the goal?
Yeah, you know what? I think you're right about that. I think really it was just taking that trip itself, and that was enough. So it was kind of this freedom from expectation in a funny way, too, because it was all new and different. And, it was a lot of fun, and there were a lot of surprises on the way. I learned a lot about being by myself and a lot about camping out. And there were so many new places, so I didn't really know what to expect. And there were surprises all the time, beautiful landscapes and lots of different things to see. I think in one way things, there were lots of interesting challenges along the way, but I didn't really know what to expect. And it was okay to just be open to whatever was going to happen on the road. And then when I got out to the place where I stayed, so I wasn't really sure what to expect, and that was okay. That was part of the fun of it.
Ah, so you're really up for the journey. Just take me where I go.
Yeah, and it probably helped that it was just going to be for that year, like that I had some end point in mind. Kind of gave me the freedom, I think, to just have it be whatever it was going to be.
And when you were preparing to leave, and there were things that were already, and then you didn't have a real rigid plan, right? You just were going to get on the road.
Yeah.
And maybe it would be awesome if you shared with us a little bit about the trip itself. And did you notice at what point did you notice that you started feeling different in yourself, that you started feeling lighter somehow? At what point did you join the journey, if you will?
Oh, that's a good question. I had about 2 months of driving before I stopped, before I really stopped any place and looked for a place, before I stopped for a more permanent home. So I would say once I got out of the, it's hard to say. I would probably say like once I got out of the Northeast, then it was into territory I had never been in before. And I don't really know how to answer that question. I don't know. Have you had transitions on trips like that, where you've gone on big trips and you, at a certain point, have left behind the other place and now you're on the journey?
Well, sometimes for me on big journeys, I realize the change more when I come back than actually en route, in the process itself. And the longer trips, they're much more pronounced. Like when I was in Barcelona for those 3 months and then I came back and, the earth didn't feel the same in Boston. But in Barcelona, that time that I was there, I was aware that there were changes going on in me. I mean, everything had to change. I was speaking a different language. I was in neighborhoods and exploring and making new friends and, you know, hanging out with the Mediterranean and doing these things that were not available in Boston. So I was conscious of changes happening, but it wasn't actually until I returned to Boston that I realized, I began to integrate and realize more fully what the changes actually were that happened.
Yeah.
And so for me, it was, it seems like that's the way it worked for me.
Maybe, that's a good
I think
point.
Perhaps our listeners might really enjoy if you share with them just a little bit of the journey you took, because it seems that there's a really common longing that people, that we all share, to just get up and go. And you did that, Carolyn. You just got up and went. And it seems that people often think of that. They would like to have that courage, would like to find that way to pull it together to do just that. And and then the journey happens. So maybe you could share with us a little bit of your route and a little bit of the magic you found along the way. Were there aha moments or special campsites? Or tell us a little bit about your camping experience. I mean, how did it go camping across the country? Where did you where did you stay? How was that? Isn't that kind of close to the dirt? I mean,
yeah, that's so funny. Well, it was great because a man who now has become my partner started out with me at the beginning and stayed with me for the first few weeks. So we really learned how to put that tent up and take it down and do our cooking outside. So that was pretty good. I got used to that with some company. So that was great. And then he left and I was in the Smoky Mountains. And so from there, I spent a lot of time in the mountains going through. I was in the Smokies and then headed across Tennessee and went into Arkansas and tried to stay in the mountains whenever I could. And there's all kinds of campgrounds on the way. So it was very interesting to learn about campgrounds. A lot of state parks, a lot of national parks. A lot of campgrounds have camp hosts. So if you were a person alone like me, I could choose to put myself near a campground host. So it wouldn't be so lonely. You kind of get an I kind of learned to judge a little bit if a campground felt comfortable for me or not. I really had no problems at all camping. That was pretty fun. There were, once I got out, I remember heading, once I got further west, the landscape is just so amazingly different and so fantastic that it was just really wonderful to just drive along roads. It was also very nice to be able to indulge myself. I didn't have to answer to anybody. And I'm one of those people who, when I travel, I'm like, oh, I want to go see the limestone cave. And I will go 100 miles off my route so that I can go see the limestone cave. And that was just great. I just felt like I was so able to indulge myself and see things that interested me. And then, of course, once you get out to the Southwest itself, it's just really, really spectacular. And the scenery, the sky is so huge and so amazing. So there's so many things on the trip that I saw that I'm so glad that I got a chance to see. And one of the funny things, I was thinking about this earlier, is one of the funny things is I was enjoying traveling by myself, and I was enjoying kind of the silence of being with myself. I remember that on the trip out, that it was like I was hungry for some silent time with myself. So I did like that. But I got to see this great canyon in Texas, Palo Duro Canyon, and got to see some amazing campgrounds in New Mexico, Bandelier, and got to see the petroglyphs. I love history, so any historical site, I could get off the road and go take a trip and see that. So I eventually ended up in Flagstaff and decided not to stay there and drove down towards southern Arizona. And I spent most of that year in southern Arizona in Tucson and was able to do some traveling in those four states during that time.
When you were traveling,
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, go I was going to say, I remember one campground in the weather. It's like I couldn't judge the weather in these parts of the country I hadn't been in before. I did not know how to read the weather. So I didn't know if storms were going to be bad or not bad or you know, in a funny way. Like some I could read and some I couldn't read, and I didn't know what certain storm signs meant. But I remember camping in this one campground. It was just like the most horrific rainstorm. I was by myself, of course, you know, and it was this state campground. It wasn't very crowded. And it was this terrible rainstorm during the night, and I was so lucky that no rain came in, but it was thunder and lightning and pouring rain all night long. And I woke up in the morning, and I was glad that the storm was over and it was still dry out. And I heard this little voice outside the tent, and it was this voice going, "Ma'am, ma'am, are you all right, ma'am?" And it was this lady, this sweet person, who was with her husband in a camper. And they had seen me come in the night and set up my camp all by myself. And she said, "Oh, we were thinking about you all through that storm. Please come in and have breakfast with us." And, oh, my gosh, she invited me into their camper and cooked me grits and eggs. And they showed me their map of all the places they'd traveled. And I'm telling you, it was like this little touch of companionship that I didn't expect, with food included, which is so great if somebody feeds you. And I'll just never forget that. That was just like, that was a very generous, nice thing.
That's great. And then you said that you weren't sure about being alone at first. Is this the first time that you had substantial time alone? Were there other times before, or was this really your virgin experience? I'm on my own now with just me and my thoughts and the goddess, and that's it.
Yeah, I don't know. There was something about being so far away from home. I've had lots of little pieces of time alone, but no big stretch like that. I also think part of it was the job I did had so much talking in it. So much talking and listen and interactions, social interactions all day, that I think it was kind of nice to not have any interactions for a while. And what I remember is that my radio was broken on the way out, and I did not get that radio fixed until I was heading home.
Serious? No sound, please.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was fun. Oh, yeah.
Interesting. How did you notice... your thoughts changing, if you can recall when you were going over? I really think that obviously our thoughts are a major part of our conscious awareness, you know, of our consciousness, period. And are you aware of how your thoughts were changing? The more silence, the more quiet, the more beauty, the farther from all familiar. Did you take note? Was there any particular, or can you reflect back and see how your thoughts changed as you moved through these phases?
Oh, that's a good question. Wow, I don't remember.
Were they quieter? You know, like it seems like when we're in a busy workaday thing, chatter, 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 all the things we have to do, all the things we didn't do, all the, you know, I gotta pee, I gotta this, I gotta that, you know, all that yada yada stuff happens. And then we quiet down. And then what happens?
Yeah. I know, it's funny, right? When you change your schedule a lot and your day is open to whatever the day is going to be, isn't that such a profound change in the day? Like, I think in one way we get in the habit of filling our day with things that we have to do, and they are legitimate things that we have to do. And then if you take that schedule off, and all of a sudden your day is your own, and it doesn't matter. You can sit still, or you can go move. You can, you know, make a collage, or you can read a book, or you can cook a meal. I mean, whatever it is, your day is wide open. And I think that must happen for people when their schedules, I mean, it happened for me that time because I did have the time as my own, but I think it must also happen for people who retire, you know, or people who lose their job and aren't working anymore. Like all of a sudden your day is your own, and what you do with your time is your own. And in one way that feels so vast, And I've had times in my life that that's felt overwhelming to deal with, and times that that's felt like such a positive, wonderful thing. So on the trip, it was always pretty positive thing, because you know, it was the trip. That was the point of the trip, was just to do whatever I was doing. And plus, I kept being in varied places. So that was, I was always in some place new. So there was always some new walk to take, or some, you know, some new thing to explore.
Well, let's play with time a little bit. In the time that you had now, what did you find yourself doing with it? What were things that you were naturally attracted to? How did you find yourself spending that time? How did the creative process in you activate? What were you called to?
Yeah, well, part of that trip was the actual driving, you know, moving from place to place, and whatever that involved, either setting up a new campsite or going to see something in that area. And then once I came to Tucson and kind of stayed put for 8 months, which I think that's what it ended up being, I did find work. So that was part of the time was spent in work. And then the other time that I was home was all open. I ended up doing a lot of, like, artwork for fun, like what a kid would do. I'm not a, you know, visual artist. But it would be to me like what kids do in school. You make a collage, or you make a picture, or collect things. You know what? I just kind of slowed down. I think I read a lot. I listened to music. I did a lot of walking. I suppose after a certain point, I would have added more things into that schedule. But I think for a long time, that was enough to just do that.
And when you were doing those things, what happened with your writing? Did you start writing out there too, or was
That was one of those changes that happened when I came back. So I was kind of interested in your comment about when you went away and then when you come back, there's some changes. I think that's an interesting thing. So when I came back from that trip, so the year was up, and I came back. I made the decision to come back. So I came back, and I took my house back, and I took my job back, and I was right back in the same place that I had left a year before. And it felt very abrupt to me in some ways. You know, I guess I was expecting that I would have had a totally different life. And then in fact, that isn't what happened. I came back, and it looked like I was picking up everything that I had left before, except that now I had a photo album of pictures of places I had been. you know, so it's like, oh, man, I'm like, oh, shoot, I don't want my life to just be a photo album on this shelf. You know, what's happened? But there were more profound changes that had happened. So, I couldn't describe, I probably don't have all of them down. I'll probably know when I'm 80 what they were.
But, bless your heart.
One of the things was the first day I went to work, I thought, oh my gosh, I made a mistake coming back to work. So I worked one more year, and then I quit teaching, which was probably a very good call. It was a good call. And then I stayed in my house for a year, and then a year or perhaps two, maybe two, and that was it was great. I had a better relationship with my house, I have to say. When I came back, my son's girlfriend told me the place looked a lot better since I came back, that it looked happier. So I did make my house better, but I ended up moving out of the house and moving into a different place. The relationship that I started with Roscoe before I left, really continued. That became a very important part of my life. But then when you talk about writing, so that was the first year I've always wanted to do writing, and I've dabbled with writing off and on throughout the years. But then when I came back, I got more serious about it, and I did take a class and started writing more, and I was able to do that. I think I was able to make space for that when I came back. And also I had some energy to look for new ways of new activities. So, so I think those changes, and so I think those things changed when I came back. So it's funny. I mean, we were talking a little bit earlier before this show a little bit about, what change. Sometimes we expect change to be so dramatic, and really it's kind of like a slow and steady thing. Or maybe something that you might not see for a while, and then you realize that you did make that change. Like probably one of the things I think, like my relationship to time is different. The sense of that you can just be in the spot that you're in. I'm better able to do that. I don't have to fill up every second with an outside activity. I can be in the space that I'm in. And I think I started to learn that on that trip.
I see. What are some of the other things that have developed in you since you returned? Have you picked up other interests or passions of study or anything else that you might link to your shift since you returned?
I think one of the things is, in a funny way, I think I have a better relationship to Boston, in a funny way. You know, it still makes me crazy. Our weather here is, like, unbelievable. But, and it all looks a certain way. But I think I have a little better relationship to Boston, I guess probably related to appreciating the place that we're in. Also, I've gotten more serious about meditation. And I think that probably started with that trip.
Were you a meditator at all before?
Not regular.
But so you had done it now and then? Or
I had done it now and then. And I think, so I think the trip, well, I think that trip was about, one of the things was about, you know, what's life all about? What's important in life? What's the fun in life? What else? You know, so I think it brought up those questions that people think about what's the, I don't want to say the purpose of life. I want to just say what's the nature. What's the nature of life? You know, if you stop filling up your day, right, if you stop filling it with things that people have told you that you have to do, if you stop for a while, then what is the nature of life? And then you go see, I think when you go look at different landscapes and you're like, oh, my goodness, life is more different than I thought it was. And then if you look at different historical markers, and you become aware of all this history that maybe you didn't know about. And that's another thing that for me always brings up, like, wow, why did people make those choices? And what was life like for people? And that's like geography. It shows up what's all this variety? What is the nature of life here on Earth? And how do people conduct their lives? So I think those interests were stimulated on the trip and may have stayed with me.
When you came back, did you find that there were things that you just could no longer accept anymore? This really happened for me when I came back from Barcelona. I just suddenly realized that there were things that I had been going along with. I loved the way you just put that, by the way, of when you stop filling up your day with things everybody tells you you have to do. That is the trap we all seem to end up in And some people never get out of it. And that's a life's work right there. Mm. you just said it in one sentence, one of the biggest challenges we all face is finding our own truth, finding our own balance, and finding our own presence in being here right now for me. This is my moment. This is the moment I am alive. I'm breathing. This moment is beautiful. What a moment we have here. And that is actually a major accomplishment. That is a tremendous accomplishment, Carolyn, to disengage, especially so many years of that. And so when I came back from Barcelona, I could not tolerate certain things. Like I just, some of the ruts that I had been in, I couldn't fit anymore. I realized how I had been sort of compromising things that now I couldn't anymore. And the changes that I had thought I might want to make, I had to make. They were not optional anymore. It was just almost like my whole energy had been raised to the point where not only did I know I had to make those changes, but I had the energy to do it and the clarity also to do it. And it was going away and coming back that really afforded me that opportunity to see the bigger picture of what was going on. And did that happen for you too when you came back? Did you find that there were things that you really had to stop the compromise there? You just knew that was enough.
Yeah, I think they're probably still going on. You know, I don't know what they all are. I mean, life is different now. Mm. Maybe life always changes. I don't know. I can't think of anything particular and sharp. It was this. Although there have been many. I don't really know how to answer that.
Mm.
I think there are things that have changed. I know that there are things that have changed. It's funny, like one of the things I guess is thinking about that there are other options. Or having, one of the things is if you don't know what your options are, I think we can get in a place where we do not know what our options are. How would we know? You know, if we're in the same place, how do we get to see what are some other options?
I think
it's hard. I mean, we can imagine what our other, maybe sometimes we can dream of other options, but sometimes we just have no idea what else there could be. And so I think anything that might stimulate that, I think that's why other people saying things or somebody doing something, you know, might trigger it for you, or, you know, or just, I don't know what helps trigger you to trigger a person to have an idea of what else there is, or what other. I don't know. I'm just kind of curious about that. In a way, like here's like a really simple example. It's like kids will think, what do they want to be when they grow up? You know, so they say, what do you want to be when you grow up? Oh, you know, and all they know is what they've seen. You know,
right.
I want to be
right.
a mommy, or I want to be a teacher, or you know, I want to, you know, be a policeman, or they only know what they've seen. But what if you don't know what else is out there, and then you don't know how to go get it either? And I don't think that's necessarily like that we made a mistake and we don't know that. I just think that's how it is. I think that's it. We only know what we have in our world, and so what? How can we get other information in?
And so one of the ways to do that is to go out and find it like you did. I think also one of the things that spark these ideas is, for me, other people.
Yeah.
Talking to people, hearing people's stories, but that has been a major catalyst for me. And gratefully, I don't have problems talking to people, and I ask a lot of questions, you know, so that seems to be the major thing for me is other people's stories, and learning how other people do things has really been a major part of expanding my world of options and expanding my consciousness of what even is an option, you know. So other people have definitely done that for me. Were there people on your trip that, my thinking, everybody is a role model on that level, you know. I can play around with it. I meet somebody and, you know, say they're a fisherman and they go out every day, and then I can play with that in my mind. I can go, wow, imagine that. I'm a fisherman every day. I get up before the sun and I'm out on the water when the sun rises, and I kick it around and I go, wow, well, that's cool. It smells bad. I'm going back home now, you know, whatever, you know. Yeah. I can just play around with that. And then so I kind of jump in other people's stories and try it out and bring it back. And that's one of the ways that I practice options, and that's how I feel – like my first draft, if that feels good for me. If that doesn't, or if it's just, that's one of the fun things. I just actually like to play with that in my mind. And so meeting people is a major one for me. And how about you? Do you find that?
I was thinking when you said that, I mean, that makes sense, because you do like to talk to people and you'll ask them questions like that, and then they tell you things like, but you're right. Meeting other people is probably key. Hearing what other routes can be chosen.
Were there people you met on your journey that inspired you, you know, places that you met or things that you saw, the way they were living, that you brought back and you said, well, I really want to be that. I want to try that. I really liked that. Were there people that you met on your journey that stimulated inspiration and new ideas for you?
Well, it probably was more like everything was stimulating on that, you know, being in a totally new place. I think I don't know if I could do such a trip again in a fun way. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm,
like,
sure.
It kind of is. So now the questions are different in a way. You're like, oh, can I go and see where I can go? Yeah. Okay, then you come back and say, well, what, I guess, how's the right way, or how's the, I don't know. I guess I wonder if it would be the same. I don't know if it would be the same kind of trip in a way.
I don't think it could, really, because you aren't the same you that you were. You know, you're not now moving from that same place of frustration. Now you've come back And actually, maybe now's a good time to tell us a little bit about, how do you feel now, all these years later? Now you've let go of your job for real. You're recreating yourself, pursuing your writing seriously. And what are some of the things that you'd like to share about how do you feel now? And how you feel now compared to where you were now would obviously make a huge difference in any journey you took from here on out, because now you're this Carolyn, you're not that Carolyn, you know what I mean?
yeah. I mean, good questions, right?
Yeah, I mean, Carolyn is Carolyn, but there's this part of you that radically, you know, changed from there to now. So
yeah.
Now we have this Carolyn. So who is this Carolyn now? Like, what would be different if we knew you, you know, then and now? And what would things, if you were to say, well, to ask you to share with all of our listeners, what are the things about you now that have changed? What things do you like better about yourself? What things, perhaps share with us, if you could do it again, would you? And why would you? And would you recommend this path? And I'm just noticing now we're getting our hours almost, it's coming to its end. So here we go.
Wow.
Yeah, and I knew if we got Gavin, it wouldn't be a problem.
Like I said, you like to talk to people, you ask questions, you bring out an opportunity to talk. So that's good. Let's see. What's different? I think I am more comfortable with who I am. And I was thinking now, I think for a long time, I would think if I lived in a different, this is what many people have said in life. You know, if I had a different house, if I had a different community, if I had a different landscape to look at, if I could change those things, then everything would be right in my life. And that is not, I don't think that's true. You know, I think that we end up coming back. I think there's certain places that I'll always struggle with. And that's just how my journey in life is. Like, those are my places that I'll struggle with. And then there's other places that it's like, it's great. You know, it's fine. It's like, I feel more self-sufficient. I love that I have seen and had the opportunity to live in a very beautiful part of the country. I don't have the kind of work that I did before, and I'm doing different work now. I'm doing some volunteer work, and I'm doing some other kind of teaching work. And I really like that. I like the stimulation of that. I'm involved in a relationship now. I don't know if I could have done that in the past, been as open to making a good partnership. And that has made a very incredible daily difference in my life. So in a lot of ways, I feel I am more present and more conscious of the choices I'm making, and more appreciative of the place I'm in. So, I mean, that those things have changed. So I don't think I can totally sum up everything in my life, because I just don't have that kind of perspective. But those are some of the things. So I think I would say probably one of the big things is getting beyond geography in a way. I really thought if I changed the and we had talked a little bit about this, like going to a new geography can be so stimulating. It can be so wonderful, like a beautiful piece of art that you're looking at something arranged in some way that you just didn't know it could be arranged, and it's so beautiful. So a new geography can be really stimulating and can be great, but just moving to a place, you still need to live life and grapple with the things that you're grappling with and enjoy the things that you're enjoying. So you still have all of life, no matter where you live. You still have all of your life going on.
Right.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it does make sense. It's the same story playing out in a different scene. So if you want to change the story, then you have to stop and look at the story and really go beneath the surface of the storyline, perhaps, and find out, well, if this scene is playing over again, why is it playing over again?
Yeah, don't you think? I think that's true.
Definitely, I think so. I think that's one of the biggest challenges that we all face, because our culture totally pushes us to be as superficial as possible, you know, sound bite. That's the way we want it, right? Just tell us the surface. But to really make changes in ourselves and in our lives and in our world, we have to stop and look at what we're doing and ask ourselves, well, why are we doing that? And is it working? And can we do it different? Who are the players in this? Because we get caught up in other people's stories as much as we cast people in ours, if that makes any sense. So for us to find ourselves in any story at all, the first thing we have to do is stop. And I think if the world stopped and people gave themselves the opportunity that you have done, my hat's off to you, that you have taken that opportunity to make a break and step back. And you know what else I really commend about your decision, Carolyn, is you did it before your whole life just came crashing down on you. And I think that a real common pattern is that we don't do that in time. We know we're upset about stuff. We know there's not a good balance. We see there's struggle and there's frustration and there's just a lot of things not working, but we ignore it and we ignore it and we ignore it. And it's almost like we think if we ignore it long enough, it'll go away. but it doesn't go away. And then all of a sudden things crash in because we're human. You know, things must be worked out. It doesn't really stop itself until we do it. So you took that opportunity to stop before your whole life came crashing down. And you said, look, wait, what is going on here? And then you found out, and then you made changes, and you came back, and now you're a person that you actually feel much better about and are making tremendous progress in your personal growth and being the person who you are really, not everybody's agenda for you, which is a really beautiful thing. And
Well, thank you for saying that.
And we just got the sign here.
Okay.
And that it says wrap it up in 5 minutes. So we have 5 minutes. We're wrapping up.
Mm-hmm.
And do you have anything that you would like to offer to the good people listening, to anybody who's on the edge of their seat, who's thinking about doing this? Or would you recommend this? You know, would you like to offer any closing thoughts or inspirations to the listeners?
Well, actually, I should put that back on you, because you are actually also a veteran traveler and have a lot of experience with what that does and doesn't do in life. And what do you think about times when people, when events or circumstances in your life cause you to pause, and when you feel like you need to stop and regroup, what do you think people should do, or what do you think is helpful to do at those times when things just can't go on as they are, or things have changed significantly?
Well, I think that the one thing that I would recommend that anybody can do anytime, at any point, in any situation, is to breathe. Breathe. Just simply breathe. And that, if my work with meditation, just focusing on the breath itself, it's the simplest exercise to just feel the breath filling up my lungs and exhale. And I have done that in the wildest scenes, and it's amazing what it does to just bring me back into my body, to bring me back into the now. And, you know, that question really, to be answered in a general way, that's the only answer I could offer. It depends so much on where you're at in your situation. If you do what you did, and you honored the restlessness in the beginning, you honored your feelings, you were willing to be honest with yourself and with your sister, and mwah, your sister, thank you, and you were willing to take that to the next step way before crisis happened. You know, your choices were very different than somebody who hasn't done that. Imagine for a minute you didn't do that, and then what happened? Maybe 5 years later, maybe now, you would be sick. Maybe, I mean, this is classic situation where then people get, maybe they get ulcers, or some catastrophe happens, like the house burns down. Or, I mean, the universe really does make sure you get what you want. It absolutely honors your deepest soul work. So that question really has many answers, and the sooner you acknowledge the truth of what you're feeling, the more choices you have. So if you have only one thing to do right now, breathe. That's what I would say. Just breathe.
Very good. Well, it has been so great talking to you. Thank you. I feel so honored that I'm your first guest, and you have another guest coming on in a couple of weeks, right?
Yes, I do. I'm very excited to welcome T. Lee Bauman, my next cycle on the 22nd of October. And he's going to be talking about a book that he's written called Mind to Matter to Consciousness, which I read already, and it is a great book. He has done a fantastic job really simplifying the science of the ELF, the extremely low frequency range, which translates to our brain waves. And in such a simple way, he has made it really accessible to how our infinite being actually connects to all that is. It's a lovely book, and I'm really looking forward to speaking with him in a couple of weeks. And next week, here on BBSRadio.com, we will have Chris Holmes, who is opposite me, and I really like his program, Zero Point. It's a great show. He is so knowledgeable. He takes the Blavatsky religious understanding and interweaves it with physics, and he does a really good job. He is a very smart person, and so he'll be here next week. And thank you, Carolyn, with my whole heart for being here with me and being with me and being with me, Carolyn. you're an ace. You're an absolute ace in my life. And okay then. So here we go. Top of the hour. Thank you all for listening to the Alchemy of Light broadcast. It's been fun, and we did it. So have a lovely fortnight until next time, and do take care of yourself, be kind to yourself, and be kind to everybody else. Bye-bye.